above us and below us, and speak to us, Lord. I pray for open hearts, eyes to see, ears to hear what you're doing right now in this place, and we give you honor and glory and praise. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, it has been a delight to be with you for the last couple days. Oh, thank you. And, you know, one of the things that I get to do is I have four boys back in Washington State that are, one of them's in his 20s now, and the others are teenagers, and a lot of them are into sports. So I get to hang out at a lot of sporting events. And the other day, I took my 13-year-old down to a tournament in Bellevue, Washington, which some of you heard of. It's a suburb of Seattle. And while we were at the tournament, they played their first game, and we had a large break between the games. And I said, well, let's go down and kill some time, go have some lunch. And we saw one of those huge theaters with 14 screens or whatever. And I said, well, how about if we go to a movie? And he said, great, yeah, let's go to The Avengers or something like that. And a 13-year-old want to see it. And I was hoping they had the Apostle Paul playing, but it wasn't. And then I saw You Can Only Imagine. You know, that I said, David, we're going to go to that one. Oh, Dad, come on. You know, I said, no, we're going to that. And I promised them we'd get the refillable popcorn, you know, the real big one, and we did. And while we were in the movie, he was so enthralled by what God was doing through the story of the author of that song that he said, Dad, can you go get the popcorn refill? I don't want to miss anything. Now, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he was telling me. And I didn't want to leave. Finally, I picked a spot, and I said, you got to make sure you tell me what happened. I will, Dad. But come on, when a 13-year-old doesn't want to leave a movie theater for a message of redemption, you know that God's working. Amen. And as parents and as grandparents, God has called us to listen to the Holy Spirit on behalf of our kids. Yes. You know, to step into the gap and not force feed them, but to love them. And to earn their trust. By what? By consistency. By being faithful over and over and over again. You know, most of you know this, but our words have power. And so when we declare negative things over our lives or over our families or over our relationships, what happens is then that becomes reality. But when we declare the truth over our families and our relationships and the people around us, that becomes reality. And when the truth comes, the Bible says that the truth sets us free. And when we're walking in freedom, that's who God's made us to be overcomers, to be men and women who will do what? Who will walk in that truth over and over and over again. How often? Every moment of every day. And we learned how to get out of the way from the things of the world, from our flesh, from the things talked about in Galatians 5, the fruit of the flesh. You know, one of the seminars I teach when I travel to different places is how to keep in step with the Spirit. And I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit some this morning, and then we're going to demonstrate His love and His power. Some of you are going to get hit by the Holy Spirit really hard today, and you're going to be on the floor shaking like a fish that's flopping around. And you're like, what? What's that look like? While I was praying in the back, I heard a couple things for you. And I'm going to release some prophetic words over some of you specifically. But here's what the Lord said. He said He's going to take you as far as you want to go. Let that sink in for a moment. Someone was mentioning about the lies of the evil one earlier and the darkness that comes against us. The truth is you can either come into agreement with the dark or you can come into agreement with the light. The light is what sets us free because He is the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And we're part of the city, whether you know it or not. If you know Jesus, you're part of the city. Come on. And He wants us to shine for His honor and His glory. So when we get out of the way and we say yes and amen to what the Father wants, what happens? He gets the honor and the glory. And His glory falls on us, and it even gets even brighter and brighter and brighter. Because why? Because we are in agreement with what heaven wants. Yes. The most spiritual prayer you can pray is, God, help me. We all need help. Tell your neighbor you need help. Come on. And then tell him, praise Jesus, God's helping us. You know, just tell him right now, praise Jesus, he's helping me right now, right? Because why? Because we're asking. We have not because we ask not. If there's anything you remember about this message this morning, remember this simple phrase. You have not because you ask not. So what are you asking for? Seriously, what are you asking for? You don't have to tell me out loud. But the truth is if you're not asking, you're not receiving. The Lord wants you to receive. What? What you ask for. By what? By faith. So you step into your circumstances, and you don't look at it from a worldly or earthly perspective. You look at it from the Spirit's perspective, and He starts to shine light in the darkness on your situation, and no longer do you have fear over the darkness, because why? You realize who you are in Christ, that you're an overcomer. And His light shines into the darkness, and He sets you free from the darkness so that what? So you can even shine more brightly so that God will be glorified. I mean, this is how Jesus taught us to pray. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven right now? Think about it. There's no sickness. There's no tears. It's all about Jesus. It's all about worship. It's all about bringing Him honor and glory and praise. So we ask heaven to come to earth. So there's no sickness on earth. Why? Because by His stripes we've already been healed. Do you realize that? That's our inheritance. And you say, well, why do people die? Too early. Why are there, you know, we live in a fallen world. And I don't have all the answers, but I've seen a lot of people healed over the years. Thousands. I remember the first time I saw someone's blind eye he was blind for 10 years in his right eye. And the Lord opened it just so clearly. It was just all clouded over. And as we prayed, the Lord completely gave him vision back again. I've seen hundreds of deaf ears opened. Hundreds. Even from birth, where they couldn't talk. They couldn't hear themselves talk. And all of a sudden they start weeping because they hear sounds for the first time in their life. Our God is a God of love and miracles, and He wants to pour out His Spirit on you so that you can learn how to get out of the way and receive what He has for you. As I was praying, He led me to Romans chapter 5. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, I want to comment on this passage this morning and look at a couple things in here. Romans 5 verse 6. It says, for when we were still without strength, say without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. What did He do? He died. For who? Who's the ungodly? Yeah, us. He came in and died while we were without strength, in our flesh, abandoned to the things of this world. That's who we were before we knew Christ. Remember, He died a lot longer than you or I were even thought of. In other words, everyone that Christ died for after or before He died, or when He died, was in the future, except for those that He died for that were living. And those that, in the Old Testament, that believed by faith, like Abraham, it was credited to his account as righteousness, and many others like him. We're going to see Abraham and those people in heaven. Come on. Because they believed in a future Messiah. But we get to believe in the Messiah who what? Who died for us when we were without strength, when we were weak, ungodly. Now, when we're born, we're born with an innate sin nature. You don't have to teach your kids how to sin. It's not a learned response. It's something that they choose to do. It's something that you and I choose to do. Until what? Until by his grace, unmerited favor, his strength came in and showed us what? That there was a better way. And so we come into agreement with the truth that Jesus died for the ungodly who we were. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Verse 7, Romans 5. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. That's what the world says. Yeah, well, you know, you hear these stories about these heroes in Vietnam or some of these other wars where they stepped in World War II and they took a grenade for their platoon and they died and they got a Medal of Honor. And that was a good thing because he saved a lot of lives and it was terrible for that man, but he showed his courage. But look at this. He's saying Jesus came in to die for you and me while we were sinners. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't good. We weren't righteous. We were an affront to a holy God. We were awful in his sight. Now, someone needs to hear and understand that today that God's grace is sufficient for you. And what that means is that his empowerment is going to enable you to rise up above the sin that so easily entangles you. You see, when you come to the end of yourself, that's when God begins to take over. But we need to come to the end of ourselves. If you have sin in secret, then God is not able to work in that because you're hiding it or thinking that you're hiding it from him. And the evil one says, oh, there's an open door. I want to come in and wreak havoc in that area. That's why the Bible says that when we confess our sin to one another, we shall be healed. Amen. We have to bring it out into the light, not let it stay in the darkness. And so I see so many people struggle. You know, we're on the radio in about 80 different cities across North America. We've been on for 7.5 years almost. And every single Saturday night when we're on live for 2 hours, we'll get 20 to 25 calls, and 4 to 6 of those people will get healed. Every Saturday night for 7 years, it happens. I just know that it's going to happen. God gives us words of knowledge. He sets people free. There's people that get saved. Sometimes there's demonic deliverances right on the air where the demons will manifest on the air, and they get set free. That gets people's attention. Praise Jesus. But again, I have a question for you. How far do you want to go in the Lord? Do you want to go at your pace? Or do you want to go at his?
Yes, amen.
There's several passages that have this phrase. It says, in due time. Yeah. It's pretty vague, isn't it? In due time. The Lord wants to learn, teach us and have us learn how to wait upon him in his timing, keeping in step with the Spirit. How many know that the Holy Spirit loves you and has a great plan and purpose for your life?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And when you learn how to keep in step with the Spirit and you stop and you say again, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And you mean it, not just lip service. But it's coming from your spirit, from your heart. The Lord says, oh, there's something I can work with. And he starts to pour out his spirit on us. And suddenly, you start to see things you've never seen before. And suddenly, you start weeping uncontrollably in a certain circumstance where before you weren't like that. Because the Spirit of God is coming on you. Because the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. Because he sees who you are and who he wants to make you to be. Again, this is such a key passage. It says, but God demonstrates. Say demonstrates.
Demonstrates.
What's a demonstration? Do you guys have Costco up here? You do, right?
Yeah.
So, you know when they have these little demonstrations for the bullet, you know, the blenders and all this, and they got the microphone on, and they're, oh, come on over here and see this machine. It's amazing. It's going to make you lose 50 pounds if you have this. And, you know, just carrot juice, all, you know, whatever it is. And they're speaking all this, and it's like They're demonstrating the benefits of this machine. When we demonstrate the kingdom, it's all about love. God demonstrates his own power. Look what it says. It says what? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is being demonstrated through who Christ is. Now, you know this in your head. Some of you know it deep in your heart. But the question is this. When condemnation and shame and you comes knocking at your door and you come into agreement with it, that, then what's happening is you're saying no to the love of God. You're coming into agreement with the darkness again and the things that come against you. Again, I want to say this strongly. The more you bring things out into the light of where you struggle, the more God's going to give you freedom in receiving his love.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say it again. The more you bring things out into the light of the things that you struggle with, sin, okay, and confess it to one another. Listen, when you confess sin to one another, you know what happens? And you're accepted by that person. It's almost like, you know, as a matter of fact, do that with me. Let's do a sigh real quick. It's good for your endorphins. Ready? Take a deep breath. You feel that? Feel it go down your arms? Folks, when you sigh relief, especially when you confess sin and you're accepted by a brother or sister in Christ, and they don't judge you or turn their back on you or run away and call you a fool or crazy, a healing starts to happen. Do you understand? A healing starts to happen. You see, that's what God wants, is he wants you to be an overcomer, not someone who's coming into agreement with darkness or heaviness or oppression. He wants you to come into this place of, you know, standing in the light where everything's brought out into the open. Because why? Because when God has all of you, your whole heart at his disposal, then he says, oh, I'm really attracted to that. Last night I got on the keyboards and did some prophetic worship for a while. It's the most favorite thing I can do in my life is to worship. I'm a worshiper. I'm like David. I just want to dance and worship and I play the guitar and just release the kingdom as I worship. Why? Because I know that he inhabits the praises of his people. And when he comes in, he starts to speak to me. And he shows me how much he loves me. And he fills me up to overflowing. And I start to weep as I see our Savior on the cross and all that he's done for me and taken my place. Come on, how many know the message of the cross does not get old? Come on, it's fresh, it's renewable, it continues to shine, it continues to strengthen us, because it's a gift that keeps on giving. Come on, you know why? Because we need Jesus every moment of every day. We need his grace, we need his empowerment, we need his life, we need to remember all that he's for us every moment of every day. So we stand in that grace, we stand in that empowerment, we stand in that favor of the cross. We stand in that love. He demonstrates his love towards us in this, that while we are yet sinners, still sinners, Christ took our place. He died for us. By the way, the Spirit of God comes on me a lot. Is it Ken in the back? No. What is it?
Stan.
Stan was asking me if I wanted to wear a lapel mic. And I said, you know, sometimes I shout, and I don't want to blow your speakers. And so I can put the mic away like that if it gets too loud, which it will. But I have spiritual Tourette's. The Spirit of God comes on me, and you'll see. Praise Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's absolute freedom. And he wants to free you up, absolutely.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. Verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Say, justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath. Through him. Look at that. We're saved from wrath. By what? By his... Listen, the word... This is one of my cemetery word. Did I say cemetery? Just kidding. Seminary word. Justification is just as if you have not sinned. Okay? To a holy God. So when we step into being justified by what? By his blood. Made right with God by his blood. We no longer will face the wrath of God. I said this on Friday night, but how many know that we've been saved, we're in the act of being saved, and we're going to be saved? Let that sit for a little while. You were saved when you accepted Jesus, if you know Jesus in your heart. But the Bible says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's a holy discontent, if you will. It's understanding our holy God and saying, I place myself in your hands. I trust you this moment. I trust you today. I surrender myself into your hands right now because I believe that you are the one for me, that you are for me today. So I submit myself to you with a holy discontent. In other words, a high respect of, I am not in control. You are, Lord. That noise, I think, is like angels flying by. That's what just hits me. And just, what about that we're going to be saved? Well, we're going to see Christ face to face. And we're going to be asked questions like, why should I let you into heaven? Oh, because I was a really good person. I mean, I gave lots of money and I... You know, I served with this group and I mean, I went to Sunday school my whole life. People liked me. I rarely ever lied. Jesus took my place. He shed his blood because he loved me. And I realized that I was a sinner. And I humbled myself. And I cried out to a holy God in the middle of my sin. And I received his love and his forgiveness. And he set me free from the law of sin and death. And he set me on up on a hill. That his light might shine in the darkness. You see, if, don't take this personally, but actually maybe you should take this personally. You see, if Jesus is truly the light of the world, you're supposed to let your face know that. You're like, what? It starts in our hearts. And then out of the overflow of our heart, our mouths speak. And if the joy of the Lord is truly our strength, come on, he inhabits the praises of his people. He lives inside of us. We've asked Jesus to come where? Into our hearts. So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, then the joy is going to come out. And that's why I laugh all the time. Some of you are going to be laughing uncontrollably in about 20 minutes. You've heard the phrase, laughter is good medicine. You know, there's so many times when... I'll hear something on the radio when I'm praying for someone or even in meetings like this, and I'll just say, okay, so you're going through oppression. Praise Jesus. Literally, praise Jesus. Where you say, I praise you, Jesus. And someone will be like, I praise you, Jesus. You know, and they're just, they don't mean it, but they're saying it. I'll say it again. And then they mean it a little bit more. I'll say it again. And then they mean it a little more. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they start laughing. Why? Because he inhabits the praise of his people. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm giving you some really simple, little, powerful tidbits for you to apply. Seriously, we need to minister in the opposite spirit. Now, here's another one. So you're going through some tough times. Get over it. Praise Jesus. That's how you get over it. Don't focus on it. You know how many people come to me and want me to come into agreement with how awful their life is? I don't fall for it. If you're already in agreement with how awful your life is, how's that working for you? That's called a pity party. That's an open door to the demonic. Because they're going to jump right in and say, oh yeah, your life's really awful. And they're going to start telling you all these lies and all this oppression and all this demonic stuff. In Acts 10:38, it says Jesus went around healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. He did what? He healed those who were oppressed by the devil. So sickness is in agreement with oppression or the devil. So what did he do? He got rid of the oppression and people got healed. These are just little things that when you start to understand this, you go, oh, this is the language of a learner. Oh, oh, now I get it. Yeah. See, something clicks. And you say, oh, I want this truth that sets me free. And then you start to get more and more and more of it. You see, when you learn how not to come into agreement with the oppression that is coming against you because you live in a fallen world and that you are tempted just like everyone else. Come on. The Bible says Jesus was without sin even though he was tempted. He was tempted in many ways like we are, but he was without sin is what it says. We are with sin because we respond to temptation by thinking that it's going to satisfy. We come into agreement with a lie. And so we have to come clean and say, I was believing a lie to your brother or sister and say, I was wrong. Would you forgive me as a brother in Christ, as a sister in Christ, and bring it out into the light? And then freedom comes and you start to get healed on the inside and you start to get whole on the inside and the oppression lifts and you no longer come into agreement with the heaviness. You come into agreement with what? With worship, with glory, with all the things that God has for us, with his love. He demonstrates his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So we step into that love. You know, I say this to people on the air. I'll say it to you, Christine. If God had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. Now let that sink in for a moment. Can you imagine? God walking by every day and seeing your picture. There's my daughter. I just celebrate my daughter, Christine. She is so lovely in my sight. She is just so beautiful in my sight. I see her heart. I see her kindness. I see her tenderness. I see her gentleness. That's my daughter. And then the son's picking up on that. He's, oh, yeah, that's Christine. And he's there on his face interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. Lifting you up, strengthening you, building you up, speaking life into you, especially in the middle of pain and all the garbage that's come against you. Praise Jesus.
Very good.
Because you're praying what? Not my will.
That's it.
But yours, Lord. Be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so those prayers of Jesus comes to earth, boom, and hits you. And you start to see freedom. Do you understand? That's how the kingdom works. That's how it works. It's that simple. Last night, the Father told me to tell the group this, and I'm going to tell you the same thing. It's very simple. God wants you to ask him questions. You're like, what? We serve a living God. We talk to him all the time, but do you realize that he wants to talk to you? And he wants to have a dialogue with you? He wants to speak truth into your spirit over and over and over again? I'll never forget the first time that I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me about the call on my life for ministry. And I just started to weep uncontrollably because my dad was a multimillionaire before he was 30 years old in Chicago. And I had a lot of good things growing up. But when I went to university in at Purdue in Indiana. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he drew me to himself. I remember the first Bible verse I heard. It was, beer is a brawler and wine is a mocker, and those that are led astray by them are unwise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Because I was going to the bars till 4 in the morning thinking I could find life. And I said, wait a second. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I cried out to Jesus over the next 6 months. I was in a poker game in our fraternity house and I lost all this money. And I just said, God, if you're really real. I went to church growing up. But I didn't know Jesus. I knew how to go through the motions. There may be someone here or watching online today where you're going through the motions and you haven't embraced Jesus yet. The peace that surpasses all understanding hasn't hit you yet because you've been faking it. You've been walking around with that mask on. It's literally from the Greek word hypokrite, which means hypocrite. It's one who wears masks. It's really a spirit of pretense or pretension. You're pretending to be someone that you're really not. See, the Father is all over that. When His Spirit comes on us, and today some of you are going to get free from any ounce of pretension because the Spirit of God doesn't want it. He wants you to be walking in freedom. Amen. He wants you to be not like anyone else. He wants you to be yourself. I mean, think about it. You know, you see the bumper stickers and the plaques in the stores that say something like this. Isn't it great just to go and put your favorite blue jeans on and sit down at the couch and just rest? Or whatever it is, think about it. What you love to do. I love to go out and be in nature and go hiking. I love to play a guitar and the piano, and I love to go skiing, and I love to go fishing and all these different things. And when I do, I get to relax. When I go into the secret place, I have 3 or 4 different hikes I like to go on with no one else. Sometimes I bring my 44 just because there's bears where I go. Praise Jesus. I've seen them. I make a lot of noise. Not with the gun, but, you know, with the water bottle, right? You can make noise with an empty water bottle. Just a little tidbit. Folks, when we come into who we're supposed to be, that's when freedom reigns. And that's when God has something to use for His kingdom. He is the potter and we are the clay. Clay doesn't sit there on the spinning wheel going, okay, this is what you're going to make me into. No, it sits there and it spins around, and the creator, the one who actually models, right, what it's supposed to be, whether it's going to be a nice coffee mug or a vase or a pitcher, whatever he's making it into for the use of the kingdom. You see, when you trust your Father by receiving His love and realizing that you are so appreciated just for who you are, that's when you melt in your Father's arms. You know, I was singing prophetically about this vision I had about 30 years ago. 2 weeks ago, I was singing about this. And I was laying down in my parents' house back in the 80s. And I was sleeping, and I had a dream, and Jesus was on a white horse in front of me, and I was on a horse right behind Him. And we were going into battle, and I was invincible. It was the greatest feeling. I couldn't die. I knew I was on the winning side. And I was singing about it prophetically on the piano a couple weeks ago, and tears just started streaming down my face. Folks, because of His great love for you and for me, we have the victory. Come on. We are on the victorious side. Do you understand? So we get to step into the victory. We already have the victory. So therefore, when we go around playing with all this other stuff, what we're really doing is we're delaying the truth that's already set us free. And it's already in our account. It's already there for us. It's like if we're playing around in the mud and we're like, oh man, I'm in the mud, I'm in the mud, I'm in the mud. And the Lord's like, no, you're over here. You're clean, you're pure, you're holy. I love you perfectly and I want to use you to touch so many other people all over the universe. Yes, yes. All over the world. So what do we got to do? Come into agreement with the truth. Get out of the way. Say yes and amen to God's Spirit. I got to say just a little bit more about this theme, about understanding the oppression that comes against you. By the way, someone's got some pain on the bottom of their left foot. Like it's almost like an arch thing. Is that you? Praise Jesus. Not for the pain, but that you're going to get healed in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to give some other words of knowledge here in a minute. As a matter of fact, if anyone has any breathing issues whatsoever, I want to pray for you today. I have a team with me as well, and they're going to pray for you. And raise your hand if you're on the team. Just look around. These folks are going to be praying for you. There's one back here and these gals here. And in a little bit, we're going to break out and have some ministry time and have some fun, like a lot of fun. I like to have fun in the Holy Ghost. I've been a pastor for 32 years. I know I look like I'm 32, Randy. Thank you. And so I started when I was one, you know. No, just kidding. I like to have fun in releasing the kingdom. But here's what I want to say. I get people that call in on the air, and if I let them talk, they would talk for 20 minutes about how awful their life is. And this is going on, and this is going, oh man, and then you won't believe it. And I'd be like, politely, no. Let's pray. Jesus knows all about that, and I'm going to know about it in the Spirit. And we're going to pray about what God thinks about what you're going through. I don't want to hear what you think about what you're going through. Because why? Because that's not the truth. It's oppression. The truth, they're calling in for a reason. You want to get healed of something that you're going through. Wow. Wow. I just saw something in the Spirit. I sense it's a 5-year-old granddaughter that someone has that's really going through something right now. Who is that?
Nishikura Baba!
There's some oppression over some grandkids, but it's for a grandmother who's here today. And so we're going to make sure we pray for you. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But that's an inner, that's the Holy Spirit right there.
Yeah. Wow.
He loves to intervene. Praise Jesus. He's stirring up the atmosphere right now because he's getting ready. The Spirit of God's getting ready to fall on some of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just going to really set you apart. Some of you might even miss lunch today.
Oh, no.
Actually, some of you will miss a physical lunch because you're not going to be able to get up off the floor.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. You're going to get a spiritual lunch. It's going to be a great exchange. Have you ever read the book Heavenly Man?
Yeah.
It is so good. It's Brother Yun. He was in China in the house church movement. And we're about the same age, actually. And
32.
Yep, 32. Exactly. Thank you. And I received that. But I've read many books, and when I read that, after I read that book, I bought 100 copies of it. And I've never done that for any other book. It is all about what God's done supernaturally in China, behind the scenes. And highly recommend it. But in that book, there's just so much overcoming the oppression. How many know that a church that is persecuted grows because the people that are really true about their faith don't give up and they stand in the truth, and the truth is what sets people free? Come on. Do you understand? You know, there's a lot of persecution coming to Canada and the U.S. because of our governments and because of whoever else. But we can stand in the truth, and the truth is what sets us free. And when people get set free, that's when they say, wait a second, now that's what I really need. But he's looking for people, men and women, that are going to demonstrate the truth. Listen, unashamedly, do you see? With no strings attached, there's a boldness that's rising up. There's a courage. There's a strength that you're releasing. And you just go for it because why? You're not afraid. Listen, you're not afraid of what people think or say about you because you have no reputation. I mean, what's the alternative? You have a reputation and you're going to defend yourself? Hello? He is our shield and our defender. When's the last time you stood behind him as your shield and your defender? So someone calls you something negative, praise Jesus. That's what the apostles did, the disciples did. They praised Jesus that they were whipped because of Jesus. They celebrated that they had been flogged because they were flogged because of following after Jesus. You want that kind of faith. I'm telling you right now, you want that kind of faith. If you're misunderstood, praise Jesus. Jesus said you were going to be misunderstood if you came after him. As a matter of fact, if you're not being misunderstood, you're probably not following Jesus. No, I'll say it this way. You're not following Jesus.
That's a good word.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You know, I sat in the hot springs, the really warm springs of Pamukkale. That's the Turkish word for Laodicea. And if you know anything about the book of Revelation, it says, I don't want you to be either hot or cold. Or I want you to be hot or cold. I want you to be hot. I don't want you to be lukewarm, is what it says. Like the hot springs of Hierapolis or Laodicea. It's looking out over the valley of Kolossa in modern-day Turkey. Lukewarmness is the enemy of the bride of Christ. Do you understand? It's wishy-washy. It's like the wet noodle handshake where you're like, how you doing, Randy? It's like there's nothing there. You know, imagine shaking someone's hand like this, where you're like, you know, there's nothing there. You shake hands and you grip it, and there's a confidence, there's a strength, there's an inner, you know, where you're going deeper. The Lord is looking for a church that's going to rise up in love, that's going to rise up in who they are in Christ,
yes.
Understanding that the blood, there's power in the blood. Yes. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The word saved there is the Greek word sozo, which actually means healed, saved, and delivered. You are healed by the life of Christ. You are saved by the life of Christ. You are delivered over to God by the life of Christ. And it's a continual process of being saved. You're continually being healed. You're continually being saved. None of us have arrived. We're becoming like Christ. And our circumstances sharpen us. People sharpen us. When you're tempted to defend yourself, or when you defend yourself, go back and humble yourself and say, I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Because our Heavenly Father is perfectly capable of defending you in the middle of whatever you're going through. Pride and arrogance is the number one deceiver, if you will, that comes against the kingdom. If you think you have your life all together and you're not really willing to receive what the Holy Spirit has, then get ready to go around the dark side of that mountain again where it's lonely and cold. When you say yes and amen to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, God, I want your power. Just look over at Acts 1:8. You know this passage. Look what it says. It's very clear. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says, but you shall receive power. Say, receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, the Lord told me a while back that Surrey is our Samaria. We're about 70, 80 miles from here in Arlington, Washington. And this is my third time being up here. And the nations come together here in Surrey. They really do. Just like they do in Winnipeg, where I go. I've been to Winnipeg 8 or 9 times. We have a team going for 5 days here in June, and then we're heading down to South Africa for 15 days to minister in 3 different parts of South Africa. Later in the year, we're going to head down to Brazil for a couple weeks, and then next year, we're going to have 6 to 8 teams going to different parts of the world to do what? Exactly what it says here. I'm going to read the whole thing again. It says that, but when you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Say witnesses. It says to me, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Folks, this is the call upon your life and on mine. It just is. This is who God's making us to be. Men and women who do what? Who count their life as nothing, surrendered unto Jesus, saying, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, here I am, send me. Randy Clark even says it this way. He takes a coin out of his pocket and he says, Lord, I just want to be a coin in your pocket. Here I am, spend me. Isn't that good? So do you really want the Lord to use you? Do you really want to be set apart to him like a city on a hill? If you don't, be honest, because God's Spirit's about ready to fall in this place right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Wherever I go, his Spirit falls.
Welcome, Lord.
That's because that's what I carry and what I get to give away. Freely I've received, so freely I get to give away. The more that I receive, the more I get to give away. And the more that I give away, the more I get to receive. Randy said I have free rein to release what I'm carrying in here. He's your pastor. So there's authority. Are you willing to be a fool for Christ?
Yes.
Or are you going to continue to defend yourself and try and make yourself into be the person that you think you're supposed to be? Again, wearing that mask of pretense and pretending. Listen, or are you willing to be undone? And this is a key word for someone today. Where you come to the end of yourself, to where you realize that you've been going down this road and it's been fruitless. And the Lord wants to bring fruitfulness into your life to the point to where you can go so deeper into the relationship with your Heavenly Father of intimacy. Into me see.
Yeah.
You just the Father, and you say, not my will, but yours be done, and you surrender completely into his hands, into his arms, and you say, Lord, I want to be used by you for an eternity. I want to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It starts with humility, folks. Not defending yourself, not pretending that you have it all together, but actually humbling yourself before the Lord in the middle of your weaknesses. And the Bible has a truth there, has a promise. He said, in the middle of your weaknesses, I'm strong. If you want the Lord to be strong in your life, then you need to humble yourself and surrender yourself, whatever it is. Randy and I have great difficulties in our lives. We have weaknesses, and we submit them to the Lord.
Amen.
And we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are you ready to receive? Do we have a CD we can put on in the background for some music? And here, I want to give you a couple parameters here that I tell everyone when I pray, because I want you to receive every last drop. You know, this is a phrase that the Lord gave me a while back, and it's really good because it's true. I have a couple rentals back in Washington State, and I have to fix leaks under the sink all the time. And how many know that water follows the least path of resistance? Okay? If it starts to tumble down, it'll find a crack and go under the cabinets or whatever it is, right? Well, guess what? Spiritual water also follows the least path of resistance. Let that sink in for a moment. God's living water is looking for those who are hungry and thirsty. And it will follow that little place where you're like, yes, Lord, I have this amount of hunger. It's like, oh, I'm going to give you some living water.
Yeah.
You don't have to know if you're hungry when you're hungry. You're hungry. You have an appetite. I'm going out for a steak. I'm hungry. When you're thirsty, you don't have to wonder, what I should do right now with, you know. No, I need to go get some water. Go to the sink and go get a bottle of water. I'm thirsty. When your spiritual hunger rises up and your spiritual thirst rises up, the Lord wants to satisfy you. Here's a couple parameters to be satisfied in the Lord. Number one, get ready to receive. Prepare your hearts. Tell them what you want. Jesus would always ask people, what do you want me to do for you? Do you realize with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we always have an open heaven? Because the kingdom of darkness has no influence over us. They've already been defeated. You know? Is it... What's the CFL team in Toronto? Or, I mean, here in it's the BC Lions. So, there's the Argonauts in Toronto. So, let's say the Argonauts are in town playing the Lions. And the Lions are the Christians. Reverse it. And they have the score. They're just running up the score because the Argonauts are terrible. And it's infinity to zero. And they say that chant, look at the scoreboard. You guys, you're terrible. You can't win. Well, guess what? That's what it is for us against the evil one. He's not even on the board. It's not even a game. He's already been defeated. So he can't even step on the field. Unless you let him. Unless you believe a lie. So get yourself ready to receive the truth of the next step that the Lord wants you to take right now. And how do you do that? You prepare your heart. You say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. If you're thinking about the next thing you got to do today, then go do it. Because the Lord wants you to make time for him right now. Seriously. Come back tonight if you can't be here right now. The Lord wants to move in your heart. The Spirit of God's here. These angels are still here. It could be as quiet as nothing happening, and then all of a sudden, boom, Holy Spirit comes, and he'll just blast you with his love, with his goodness. Secondly, when we pray for you, don't pray. Receive. Some of you are really good at praying, and you want to pray in tongues even while we're praying for you. Hold off for a moment and receive. It's hard to drink and talk at the same time. Let the Lord touch you and receive. This is a time to receive. When God's Spirit shows up and he wants to touch you, you're going to receive what he has for you. Thirdly, don't move your feet back like this while we're praying for you. I prayed for someone last night, and they got hit so hard by the Holy Spirit, they just fell forward like a tree falling over. Praise Jesus. When the Spirit touches you, let him touch you. Don't try to fall, and don't try not to fall. Just receive. Some of you are going to get shot out like a cannon. One lady Friday night went about 5 feet over here. She just went, poof, and she didn't hit the ground. Someone caught her. Then she went to the ground. God wants to speak to you. A pastor friend of mine in Washington State used to say, he's with Jesus now. He said, the carpet is your friend. What? God wants to speak to us. Do you want to receive what he's telling you? Well, I don't need that. I can just read the Bible. You know what? There's some people who believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. And there's nothing wrong with the Bible. I preach the Bible all the time. But it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a living word. And there's two types of word. There's the Logos word, which is the written word. And there's the Rhema word, which is the Spirit of God speaking to us like he's going to speak to some of you right now. So why don't we stand and get ready to receive what the Spirit of God wants to do for what he wants you to receive. I sense there's someone who's had a hernia, and we want to pray for you for that. I'm just going to declare some things. You don't even have to raise your hand. But the Spirit of God wants to heal you today, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He wants to show you how much he loves you. Again, God demonstrates his own love toward you in this, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Some of you have been sleeping around with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and the Spirit of God wants to break that today. I'm telling you right now, he wants you to stand in the gap of freedom, not in bondage, not believing the lie that if only I had this person in my life before I've dedicated my life to the Lord first and then to that person in marriage second. That's a lie. That's not going to bring you life. And you know that, and I know that. And the Lord wants to set you free from that today, right now. It's up to you. The ball's in your court. You can continue to live like that, or you can step into the truth. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just hold out your hands with your palms facing up if you want to receive. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and the Spirit of the Lord is in this place right now. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. I pray for an increased level of words of knowledge. I pray for an increased level of your presence. I pray for an increased level of the anointing to fall in this place. And we say thank you for every person that's going to get healed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually right now. Come, Holy Spirit, now all across this room. More. 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 Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Baptize these people in your love, Father. Even more, Jesus. Even more. Fill them to overflowing with rivers of living water. More, Lord. More, Lord. The Lord's taking pressure off someone right now where you felt pressure in the bottom of your spine. He's taking it off right now in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I just want to tell you that there's some people that are just feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. It could be physically, you're shaking, you can't feel fire, but there's some people that are feeling a conviction of the Holy Spirit right now as well, where the Lord wants to set you free. If you're feeling any of those things, you're crying, whatever it is, come on up here right now. Just spread out across the front. There's probably 10 or 15 of you. Just come on up and just stand right in a row right here and hold out your hands and just get ready to receive. The Spirit of God is just touching you right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. There will be someone standing behind you. Pray. Just keep coming forward a little further and face me. Just face me. Praise Jesus. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead around. If some of you had some of those physical words of knowledge I called out, I want you to come on over here. If you have pain in your body anywhere right now, especially breathing issues, asthma, sleep apnea, COPD, chronic pneumonia, whatever it is, I want you to come on over here and stand in this open section over here. And myself and our team are going to keep praying for you. If you're on the floor, just keep receiving. The Holy Spirit's touching you. If you're up here, that you feel God's Spirit, stay up here as long as you want. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.